It's being called the United Nations Summit for Refugees and Migrants. It's being held in New York today as part of the ongoing meetings of the UN General Assembly. Can heads of state and governments come up with a humane international response to the migrant and refugee issue amidst a very tense city? Tomorrow, President Obama will host the Leaders' Summit on Refugees on the sidelines of the meetings, following the news last week that the administration plans to increase the number of refugees admitted in the U.S. to 110,000 in the new fiscal year beginning in October. Alex Oleynikov is former U.N. Deputy High Commissioner for Refugees from 2010 to 2015. Teferi Gebre is an activist and immigrant success story. He's a former political refugee from Ethiopia, now executive vice president of the AFL-CIO, and he will be speaking at the UN General Assembly today. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Teferi Gebre, if a country can't govern its people and they move somewhere else, someone's going to have to take up that job. And it seems that the international community is uniquely not ready for what's going on right now.
That's very true. We tend to do the very minimum instead of trying to do the maximum. And some of the other stuff that people don't know about is a lot of migration happens on basis of exploitation. These are people who are promised the heavens and they walk into hell when they migrate. You know, people like myself, you know, we just don't get up one day and just say, I'm just going to leave my country. There are conditions that are creating for people to abandon where they grow up in, where they lived in, and go to unknown places.
Tell me a little bit about your personal story, because you've gone from being an Ethiopian citizen, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
to being a refugee,
yes,
to now being a vice president, executive vice president of the AFL-CIO union here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Is that trajectory part of the narrative of what's going on in the world, defending refugees is no different than defending workers in the 21st century?
That's absolutely right. But the pathway I had, I don't know if that pathway still exists for millions of others. You know, xenophobia is on that prize, not only here in the United States, but also in Europe. On the other hand, there are stories that are not being told of the contributions that refugees have to host countries. You know, I believe I have not been a burden to this country. Instead, I have been a blessing to this country. And there are millions like me who are contributing, who are building our bridges, who are our engineers, who are healing the sick as doctors, who left uncomfortable situations in their homeland and, you know, they found a new home. And we should receive them with open hands instead of fearing them and calling them terrorists and calling them whatever name that people think of.
The system of nation states that emerged in the 20th century is often cited as a mechanism for peace in the world. But it also seems that in the 21st century, that system of nation states allows nations to, on the one hand, say, I'm raising my flag for my people. But when some other folks come to the border, they all of a sudden say, hey, not those folks, that all of a sudden the nation state becomes an argument for exclusion rather than peace and inclusion. How do you fix something like that, Alex?
That's a really good question. After World War II, the world did come together and adopted a convention on refugees, and UNHCR, the refugee agency, was created. And through that system, millions of lives have been saved and advanced. The world did come together. One of the things that was left out of the agreements in the 1950s was some kind of global responsibility sharing mechanism. So states committed to respecting the rights of refugees in their country. But the world didn't get together and say, when there is a massive refugee flow, we will do the following. And the Syrian situation is a very good example of that, where you, as I said, 4.5 million Syrian refugees, but there hasn't been an international conference saying, how are we going to share out the responsibilities of these people? And it's been left to the states on the borders of Syria rather than being globally shared.
You're going to speak at the UN General Assembly. What's your message?
My message is trying to actually put a personal perspective on who refugees are. I don't have to tell you this. The political climate here in our own country is very unsettling. I want to guarantee and warn everyone who's listening to me right now, there is a huge, rigorous process of actually weeding out anything you suspect from coming into this country. We have a blessing in this country that we are not a border country where Syrians or anybody you suspect actually can walk in. We get to go to a refugee camp and actually we go pick and choose who we want to bring into this country. And, you know, honestly, the people who are pumping this up for political reasons know that.
What's the mission of this summit meeting, and how can it mobilize efforts to fight precisely the suspicion that Tafari is talking about?
The impetus for the summit was the massive flow of migrants and refugees to Europe over the last couple of years, but the goals are far broader. It goes to the system as a whole. The summit documents that will come out that the General Assembly adopt will say good things about the rights of migrants, human rights of migrants, anti-xenophobia campaigns are necessary, reaffirming the commitments of the Refugee Convention to protect refugees. It's a bit short on specific commitments as to what will happen after. It will provide for a two-year UN process to now come up with a compact on refugees and a compact on migrants, and I think that's where the real work will start, and that's where the work has to start on both increasing assistance to hosting states and to refugees, but more importantly, coming up with these global systems for responsibility sharing that will take a system that has bred long-term dependency for millions of refugees around the world and try to produce a system that allows them to effectively rebuild their lives.
Alex Alenikoff is former UN Deputy High Commissioner for Refugees, currently a senior fellow at the Migration Policy Institute and a visiting professor of law at Columbia University. Alex, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Tafari Gebre is a former political refugee from Ethiopia, now a proud executive vice president of the AFL-CIO right here in America. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.